from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Wednesday, March 18th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. North Carolina elections officials have started recounting ballots in one of the closest races from this month's primary. Adam Wagner reports from Raleigh.
As expected, Senator Phil Berger on Tuesday requested a recount in the Senate District 26 Republican primary. Rockingham County Sheriff Sam Page, who is challenging Berger, is leading the race by 23 votes. The district covers all of Rockingham County and part of Guilford County. The Guilford County Board of Elections started running ballots through vote tabulators again on Tuesday. Rockingham County officials will do the same on Thursday. Berger's campaign says a handful of voters may have filled in too many bubbles, and 217 others didn't fill in enough in the race. It is asking elections officials to visually check those ballots. Berger's campaign has also indicated that it believes some voters in the district may not have had the race on their ballot. Guilford elections officials say the campaign will need to file a formal protest to determine if that is the case. The deadline for that is 5 p.m. Tuesday. Adam Wagner, North Carolina Newsroom, Capital Bureau.
After the threat of severe weather closed Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools on Monday, the district says it still doesn't plan to use any makeup days or reschedule missed instructional time. That's even after January's winter weather led to 8 days of interrupted instruction, including 3 cancellations, delays, and remote learning days. CMS policy allows Superintendent Crystal Hill to waive up to 4 instructional days, as long as the district still meets the state-mandated minimum of instructional hours. This is the 4th and last day Hill can waive. Friday is a scheduled teacher workday for CMS. Bank of America has reached a proposed settlement with a victim of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The lawsuit filed by a woman known as Jane Doe accused the bank of maintaining a relationship with Epstein and failing to report suspicious activities until after his death. The terms of the settlement have not been made public and require final approval from a judge. Bank of America is headquartered in Charlotte and employs more than 19,000 people in the Charlotte region. A hearing on the settlement is scheduled for April 2nd. Carolina Panthers owner David Tepper and his wife Nicole are donating $250,000 to UNC Charlotte to support women's athletics. The Teppers announced the gift Tuesday morning at a university luncheon. School officials say the gift will strengthen programs for female student athletes and support training, leadership development, and overall student athlete well-being. Reports of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrests in the Charlotte area have been circulating on social media in recent weeks. Julian Berger has more.
Posts on social media show an increase in traffic stops conducted by ICE in areas like East Charlotte and South Charlotte. Videos show cars with tinted windows and work vans stopped and people inside them being detained. Carolina Migrant Network operates a hotline where people can report detentions. The group says calls have roughly doubled over the past 3 weeks. Mary Jose Espinosa of Carolina Migrant Network says ICE enforcement is ongoing, even after U.S. Customs and Border Patrol left Charlotte in November.
Since Charlotte's web, CBP is supposed to have left, but we are still continuing to see enforcement by ICE agents. Again, ICE has always been here.
ICE did not respond to WFAE's request for comment. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
New Charlotte 49ers athletic director Kevin White has made his first big move. UNC Charlotte announced Tuesday morning that Aaron Fern will not return as men's basketball coach. In a statement, White said, "We have high expectations for all our athletic programs at Charlotte, and while difficult, making a head coaching change is necessary to allow for greater success." Fern, a native of Queensland, Australia, went 47-50 in 3 seasons as the 49ers coach, taking over in the 2023-24 season from an interim role after Ron Sanchez resigned. A 2-day festival this weekend in Charlotte will spotlight different cultures and dance traditions. Elvis Meneyese reports.
18 films will be screened as part of the Charlotte International Dance Film Festival from places like the UK and China. Anissa Knight is behind the film festival.
We've had one on love, we've had one on depression, we've had one on family elements, we've had documentaries.
One film is about a young victim of sex trafficking who is trying to escape her trafficker through dance.
I'll teach you how to survive. I'll protect you.
Knight says the film is
one of those things that is hard to watch and can be triggering. However, I can tell that it was something that needed to be done for the filmmaker and the choreographer. Like it was almost a release for them, almost like therapy.
The two-day festival kicks off Saturday at the Independent Picture House in Charlotte. Elvis Menayese, WFA News.
The Queen's University of Charlotte men's basketball team held their final practice at Curry Arena ahead of a trip to St. Louis for the first round of the NCAA tournament. They'll face the number 2 seed Purdue Boilermakers Friday evening for their first ever appearance in the Big Dance. The Royals are coming into the game with one of the best offenses in the nation, averaging 84 points a game. During a media briefing Tuesday, head coach Grant Leonard said he's looking forward to his offense being showcased on the national stage.
And the biggest thing for us is we're going to play to our strengths. And right now our strengths have been our pace and our sharing the ball in offense, and we're going to continue to do that.
Queens will hold a team send-off today at 11 in front of the Levine Center on campus and a watch party Friday night at Suffolk Punch in South Park. For more on how Queens got to this big moment, Director of Athletics Sherry Swarthout spoke with our Marshall Terry.
First, a big congratulations to you and the team. How are you feeling going into the game?
Well, thank you, first of all, for the congratulations and having me on. It is a historical moment for Queens Athletics, and we've had a lot of great, great moments in our history, but this is exceptionally special. And it's something that we've been working towards, obviously, since we went Division I in 2022.
Yeah, this was the first year Queens was actually eligible to even play in the tournament. For those who don't follow sports that closely, can you explain why that is?
Certainly. We had a gift from the NCAA last January when they changed the reclassification period from 4 years down to 3. And we were able to get everything completed that needed to be done that would have normally been done in year 4, done in year 3. And they confirmed that we were a full member last year. So that's very special also to be eligible, a year early and to be able to capitalize on winning the ASUN championship and making the Big Dance.
Now, were you surprised you got there so quickly?
That's a great question because we are humbled by being in this place. But what I can tell you is that it was a goal from the beginning. Grant Leonard has done an exceptional job because, as you can imagine, we're a very small institution. I think we're probably one of the smallest to ever go to the Big Dance. We had a lot of success in men's basketball in Division II, but Grant has done a phenomenal job. We didn't just flip a switch and have all the resources, as you can imagine, and he's recruited exceptional young men who have exceptional talent and are committed to, you know, the main thing, which is getting a great education and playing some great basketball. We're fortunate to be in this place because, as Grant says, the ball bounces funny in March, and it bounced in our way.
So it seems like there's always a Cinderella story in the tournament, a lower-seeded team that blows up people's brackets. What will it take for Queens to be this year's Cinderella?
You know, again, I think we're well-positioned to make some noise. I can tell you that our men's basketball team will play very, very hard. They will be very well prepared and they will be very well coached. And we will do everything in our power to shut down Purdue.
Well, win or lose, how will this impact the basketball program at Queens? And what does it mean for the athletics programs as you prepare for the merger with Elon University?
I think anytime you can raise the profile of your institution or your program through success, you know, I think, you know, Grant is a great one to answer what type of impact it's had on his recruiting already, the visibility of his program, all the different pieces. For us as an institution, we knew that if we could get to March Madness, that it was going to have a profound impact on brand awareness, not just locally, not just regionally, but nationally. People are wondering where Queens is in North Carolina. And overall, the impact raises your visibility, certainly. But you hope that it has an impact on philanthropy. You hope that it has an impact on your admissions, all the different pieces that help your university thrive.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. And of course, good luck.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Hopefully everyone will be cheering for us on Friday night at 7:30.
That's Queens University of Charlotte Director of Athletics, Sherry Swarthout. And a quick note that Queens University of Charlotte is a WFAE underwriter.
And for Wednesday, March 18th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.